Yo, what is up, everybody, and welcome back to Behind the Sticks UFL, baby!
Merger episode! One day before the season starts!
I'm your boy, Joshua Housetown Housel, and over here we got...
Ian Spaghetti Sacchetti. We're back, guys.
We're back, and we have a lot of things to discuss. Mainly, like, holy shit, who saw the Renegades winning that last season?
Oh my god, yeah, I can't believe we had that episode deleted that we totally recorded. So we are sorry about that, everybody.
The lost episode. Somebody asked SpongeBob about that.
Yeah, it may come out if we ever find it again in the recordings, but...
We're back with a vengeance, and that's all that matters.
But you know who isn't back? The Seattle Sea Dragons! Unfortunately. Who lost their team?
There's been a death in the family, everybody. I'm sorry to break it to you. Hard news here. I am now officially a DC Defenders, day one, always supported the DC Defenders, baby. We're going to win it all this year.
And there are no alliance changes here. I still support my Brahmas. San Antonio, Brahmas. Save that drama for your Brahma mama, baby. We stayed in the league, horns up.
Horns up, baby. Horns out.
I think the Brahmas got a chance to make some noise. They are not favored well, but I'm proud of them. And I'm even hype. That there was a merger, because I heard there were some good players in the USFL, especially on the Stallions since they won back-to-back years.
Players?
Don't talk about players.
Wade Phillips being the head coach of the Brahmas. They got rid of, Wade Phillips. They signed Wade Phillips and they cut Wade Phillips.
That was a quick weekend for Wade. No, we got rid of Hines Ward.
Thank you. Why did I want to say Antonio Brown or something crazy?
Because it was an ex-Steelers receiver, so that is fair. Hines Ward was a good receiver.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So was Antonio Brown. He's just crazy. Yeah.
Anyway, we're not talking about his mental health on this podcast. We're talking about ours, baby. And the UFL's back, which means we're not depressed anymore.
I know. It's been a long wait since the Eagles got beat up by the Buccaneers in the playoffs for me to enjoy football again. So I'm very ready to watch the Brahmas take on your Defenders for their opening game.
Brahmas Defenders opening game?
Someone pays attention.
Wait, I thought we were supposed to go to that.
Yeah, they play each other twice because they're in the same division. So this one's in San Antonio. Spoiler, we're planning to go May 5th to Audi Field to watch the Defenders lose to the My San Antonio Brahmas.
So all you Behind the Sticks XFL fans better show up in full force when we take over Beer Snake Stadium.
Be there. That's May 5th, Sunday.
May 5th, okay. This is good because I forgot to. Clearly, someone pays attention. Speaking of the games, we can dive right into it. First game of the season, big boy on the schedule, defending Renegades versus the defending champion Stallions.
I mean, from what I know about the Stallions, is they're really good. We were just looking over rosters quick. We found a spreadsheet. It is... I have no idea who made it. I'm sorry. I found it on Reddit. It looks like Pro Football Newsroom. Want to give credit because this thing's awesome. It shows who players from teams went to the NFL. And the Stallions had the most by like a mile. They had like 8 and second place was 4. So clearly this team was pretty stacked.
Showboats at 0?
Oh, God. I saw they were like the worst odds to win it all. But I mean, I bet on the...
I love this band.
I bet on the Brahmas, but I think the Brahmas will surprise people. But I think the Stallions are pretty good. I still don't care that the Renegades won. I think Perez came in and they didn't have any tape or see what he could do. I just don't see them being good, especially with like how the leagues emulate each other and how passing seems so much harder in the NFL. So I think defenses are going to have a much easier time in the UFL. And then we already saw that in the XFL last year where offenses were kind of sputtering early. That's why if I remember... Yeah. Took until like week 3 or 4 before we started saying it was the sex FL. Yeah, the over-unders were like 30. They're pretty bad.
We're going to talk about betting, obviously. We're going to talk about these games coming up, give you our professional opinion.
But of course, that's an everyone's favorite segment. We save that for the 4th and 15 at the end of the show. Right now, we're just kind of, you know, excited for things to be back. Like, I don't know why the Brahmas are so low on people's radar. Wade Phillips, obviously. I forget the cat's name. He's the OC that was on the Roughnecks last year for the Brahmas. So we're going to have more of a spread aerial attack. And we picked up Jontre Kirkland, who was getting like 2 touchdowns a game until he hurt his shoulder last year.
Click on the Brahmas death chart. We were looking at this right before the pod, and we were talking about the awesome people they picked up. Name a few here, Mr. Brahma.
Like, I liked what Quentin Dormady was doing, and he's the backup last year, so I don't know who Chase Garbers is. Funny ass name, but I know
if the USFL were automatically biased again, but we want Quentin Dormady to start.
Yeah, but I mean, oh Jesus,
starting off strong,
exactly. But
an XFL podcast.
But if Garbers is better than Dormady, I think that's solid. And then Jontre Kirkland at number one receiver, still with TJ Vasher. That's a solid 1-2 punch. And we picked up Cody Lattimore from the Guardians, who was like the best tight end last year.
He was the best tight end.
And then Elise Mack was good too, so they have a double tight end, so they could probably. They still have him. Yeah, they still have him. So I don't know. Their only weakness was their offense. So I don't think like, and they didn't look like they lost too much on the defensive side, which was strong. So I think they should be a pretty good team. Gutsy, they can probably put up maybe like 15 points a game. And really, that sounds low, but that was probably 4 more points. I'm not looking at average. Probably 4 more points than they averaged all of last year.
I'm surprised by this third string quarterback, Tom Flacco.
I think it's Joe Flacco's son.
No,
there's no way he's 20.
I was going to say, this guy's old.
He might be his brother. Should we check that out?
We should. Pause.
All right. We're pausing the episode, guys. Just ignore the typing.
Tom Flacco.
Okay. Sibling Joe Flacco. This is Joe Flacco's brother. We have a Joe Flacco brother. Stephen Flacco, Karen Flacco's son. Undrafted 2020. 20561. Tommy Flacco.
How would that make you feel? Your brother wins a Super Bowl, and then he leads the Browns to an amazing playoff run last year.
When he's like 40, and you're 29 in the prime of your life, and you're the third string on the Brahmas in the XFL.
Just kidding. If you're listening, Tom Flacco, you should totally come on, bro. Give us your insider information.
I'm trying to put a chip on your shoulder, Tom. I want you to have the starting job by week 4. That's my challenge for you, Tom. Your brother could do it. You got this. Joe, if you're listening, coach him up. Joe Flacco, huge fan of the pod. He listened to every episode of Behind the Sticks XFL. We hope he comes back to UFL.
Which is actually definitely how we knew that Tom Flacco was third string quarterback.
And his brother. And his brother. But if we're looking at depth charts of our teams, let's try to get you familiar with your team. We got the DC Defenders.
How dare you assume I don't know who's starting on my team. So, according to this depth chart, it looks like Jordan Ta'amu is still number one, obviously. But we picked up Jalen McClendon, which is a pretty solid grab. I remember him being pretty good.
Who did he play for?
Last season, yeah. He played for...
McClendon. Does that kind of sound familiar?
Was he the backup on the Roughnecks after they took out what's-his-face?
Maybe.
Someone go back in the pod and let us know. The XFL no longer exists, so we lost all the depth charts.
Yeah, we have no data on them. The data is gone.
But go back to our receiving core real quick. Let's get the fan base here familiar with what appears to be all new names.
I mean, you guys lost Lucky Jackson, which was a huge gap, because I remember he was dominant.
Yeah, he was one of the best. And speaking of other people that aren't in the XFL anymore, shout out to our boy Josh Gordon. My favorite receiver of all time.
Rest in peace, legend. No, Josh Gordon's not dead, but we won't get to watch him this year in the UFL. So rest in peace, legend.
His UFL career is dead. He still wants to play in the NFL, in case anybody's interested.
But speaking of NFL, I do see two names that look familiar. We've got Kiki Kute, who used to play on the Texans. I definitely remember that. He was pretty good in fantasy for like a game or two, but then he would always get hurt. He was a worse Will Fuller, if anybody knows the Texans. And then DJ Swearinger sounds so familiar.
Oh, yeah, he is super familiar.
Yeah, he's 32, so I'm pretty sure he played in the NFL. Like, that name sounds like an NFL player. So
I'm going to take a wild guess and say he played all the Giants or the Green Bay Packers.
Packers, yeah, that's what I was thinking. He's got to be real.
He's got to be real. Okay, well, we were both wrong.
Selected by the Houston Texans in the second round of the 2013 draft.
You didn't say Texans. I said Green Bay or the Giants.
Yeah, and I agreed with Green Bay. I mean, we were wrong, but he is in the NFL.
But the two pictures they showed of him for his post...
He played for 5 teams and none of them were ones we said.
Yeah, the Raiders and the Redskins were the first two that popped up.
The Commanders. This is a PC podcast.
I wasn't sure if it was the Skins when he played for them. That
it 100% was. It 100% was.
Well, then I should be allowed to say that.
You can say skins. It definitely says Redskins right there on his jersey.
Who's buying posts? Racist shit. So am I.
That's fair. First shit.
Don't get it. Although I heard that they were trying to get the name back. Like the one Indian tribe was like, no, we liked having a name Redskins. Bring it back.
Well, you're already saying an Indian tribe. A bunch of people from India said they liked Redskins. That means nothing to me. No, those are the ones from Canada. Or are they, we say Native American here, right? Or do we say indigenous?
I think it's indigenous.
What are the ones from Australia?
It must be a philosophical pod.
Oh, the Australians are the Aborigines, right?
They think that's a slur.
Is it?
I don't know.
We met in a lawn anthropology class, so.
I do believe they brought up that word before in lawn anthropology. But anyway, I digress.
You know what lawn anthropology is? The study of man. And we're going to look at some men here on DC Defenders roster. Bringing it back full circle.
Cool with women if they would let them in. So
let's look at your running backs, because I remember you guys had a great running back last year. Oh, and he's on the injured reserve, Abram Smith.
Oh, thank goodness. He's going to be here to help us out.
You guys still got Puka Williams, third string. So you have Cameron Harris and Darius Higgins.
Darius.
He was undrafted 2022, 5'10". 210 from Miami. Hey, could be decent.
Signed by Seattle, released by Seattle.
He's starting ahead of, though. Darius Higgins did have a little stint with the Steelers in 2023, so he at least made an NFL practice squad.
Okay.
And that's no small feat. So if he's above him, he could be decent. Then Brandon Smith kind of sounds familiar.
They list no information about his past playing.
No, because he might be just XFL, because like Teyamu's got nothing either.
Oh, weird.
No, yeah, because they're just trying to show if they were like in the NFL or something. Apparently, gotcha. This guy was Monte Nicholas, but he's way on the depth chart. Yeah, we didn't even mention that DJ Swearinger is their third safety. Kiki Kute is the starting slot receiver.
Kiki Kute.
So I think he might feast, because if I remember, the defenders did a lot of dink and dumps last year, setting up the big plays. They were a running first team, but they had that other
to run the ball.
And you had that other running back that you could put in for option plays, Derek King, but he's gone.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what blue means. Let me check.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Derek King was the quarterback, right?
Unprotected and dispersal draft. I don't know what that means.
I think that they're still in the pool.
Oh, so
if they need people, they can call them up.
Oh, so someone could get him?
I think so.
But, I mean, that's got to be pretty bad if, like...
if it's unprotected.
Because that means there's 24 QBs ahead of him, so that's not looking too good.
Oof. I mean, I like De'Aaron King. I thought he was pretty good.
I'm sorry. I was just going through rosters here, and I might be a Memphis Showboats fan now.
Yeah?
Because do you see what their quarterback's name is? That's Case Cookus. If anyone's cooking, it's Cookus.
Oh, my goodness.
Case, please don't cook us on defense. My God, that's a name.
That is a name. There's some good ones.
They got Vinny Papale.
You think that's
Vince Papale's kid? Their grandkid?
Oh, he looks just like him.
I don't know what he looks like. You think they'd say it? He's from Cherry Hill, New Jersey, though.
Look at that mustache. Didn't Vince Papale had a huge mustache?
I don't know. You'd think it would come up. He is the son of former Eagles receiver Vince Papale. All
right, well, the Showboats are now both of our favorite
teams. Oh, my God, the Showboats. Look at them. Vinny Papale with Case Cookus. I'm already seeing a connection there.
Let me check out what time the Showboats.
The Showboats game is. Yeah, we didn't pull up any of the odds, guys.
Not yet. I mean, that's for 4th and 15th. We always pause before that.
Yeah, so we're just...
give a little background here. So the opening game is on Fox, and if you remember, last season, all of the games were on ESPN, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, because I got ESPN Plus just to watch the games, so they're already having heavier hitters by airing on Fox.
Yeah, that's pretty legit. You know, this article doesn't say where the other games are played.
That's fair. What time is the game?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. I'll be at work, of course.
That's all right.
I'll catch my Brahmas play.
USFL schedule. All right. USA. USA. It's weird to me the stuff they kept from the leagues and the stuff they didn't keep. Like the kickoffs, for instance. The NFL is about to adopt the XFL kickoff, and the UFL did not adopt the XFL kickoff.
Really?
Yeah, they're doing like a regular kickoff from the USFL. I think that that is just a normal kickoff.
That's so weird, because if the NFL did it, you would think they're trying to be like the G League to like groom talent so guys can go to the NFL.
Yeah.
And that way people watch it as like a college interim. And then who knows, maybe kids that don't want to go to college could be like, fuck it, man, I'll just go to the NFL or the UFL for like two seasons out of high school, tear it up.
You know what I searched for? You can make fun of me on the pod for this. USFL schedule week one. It's the UFL, damn it.
That's why
I have a bum.
But I'm just curious. You think a college team would cook up a UFL team?
I don't know. They should definitely start that. These people should play each other. Well, okay, like, so it says... Oh, man. I don't know. I'm kind of confused about this. Week one will showcase three other anticipated affairs, including the St. Louis Battlehawks and the Michigan Panthers, at 4 p.m. March 30th on Fox. But then it says the D.C. Defenders at the San Antonio Brahmas, noon, all Eastern on March 31st, and then the Showboats and the Roughnecks at 3 p.m., but it doesn't list what station they're going to be.
Oh, interesting. But it says the time, so that's all that matters.
Through the combined reach of our partners at Fox and ESPN, who both share a commitment to broadcast innovation, the UFL would have exceptional platforms through which fans can experience spring football. Fox will carry 21 of the 43 games on this year's slate.
That's pretty heavy hitting.
Yeah, but...
So it is kind of annoying that you need half the games are on half the station. But I'm assuming the ones that didn't list are still on ESPN.
Why wouldn't they say that?
I don't know. Maybe they assume you know.
Because if you can't watch half the games, that's going to be a... big disappointment. Oh, okay. It says it further down in the article. I don't know why the list is so far down. But Sunday's games will be available on ESPN.
All right, that's perfect.
And then week two, I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but the first game will be at noon on ESPN, and then the second game will be at 8 p.m. on ABC.
Oh, I'll get to watch that game.
Yeah.
I'll be home by then.
That's the Renegades versus the Battlehawks.
Oh, that'll be a fun game.
All right, anyway, well, we'll get too far into the league schedule for the season. But, yeah, they're your first games.
Yeah, so just showing how much we know. We started off not knowing much last year, brought up earlier, and we learned along the way. We like to think we learned together, guys.
Yeah, I'm not going to say we were the biggest XFL podcast, but I think we were the biggest XFL podcast.
We were at least top 100, because I doubt there were 100. But
for the stars, baby.
Exactly. But I think after this, we're going to roll into another segment, guys, so we'll be right back.
Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Hey everyone, no ad read this week. Just letting you know here at Behind the Sticks UFL, we will be releasing a new episode every Tuesday following each week of sexy spring football action. Make sure to follow us anywhere you listen to podcasts, because we're your number one source of Behind the Sticks analysis, and we're the podcast that loves you back.
All right, and welcome back, everybody. We're going to roll right into the 4th and 15. We're doing a quick little episode to start the season. Honestly, this was an impromptu one. Behind the Sticks tradition is starting after week one, but we decided since the lost episode, we owed you one. So that's why we're doing a little preseason pondering. So we're going right into those odds, those pick-ems. We'll tell you who we think, who you should bet, who to stay away from, and finals picks. Let's go. Howlstown, give me those odds.
All right. So just to add to your thing about why we're doing this special episode, we also have to convert those USFL fans, you know? Really show them that the XFL is the way to be, and they should root for our teams, damn it.
Yeah, the 5 out of 8. 5 XFL teams.
Just saying. All right, so first up, we have the Birmingham Stallions at the Arlington Renegades. I think the second people are listed as the home team, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, now we got that out of the way, experts. They are giving the Arlington Renegades 4 points. So they think the Stallions are going to win by 4. And the over-under is a whopping 41.5.
I think that's high for only giving the Renegades 4. Who's the home team? The Stallions, right?
No, the Renegades.
The Renegades are home? Oh, okay. Yeah. That line makes more sense. Damn. 4-point favorites on the road to start the season. You know, I think that's pretty fair. I'd probably go under because, like I said, I feel like offenses are going to be sloppy starting the week. But I definitely see the Stallions winning this game. Like I said, I feel like the Renegades were the Cinderella story of the XFL, and everybody loves the Cinderella story. But guess what? That prince is divorcing her. That's what's happening. Next day, wake up time, fairy book endings over on the Renegades. I hated all last year. That doesn't stop now. You're getting dogged. You're getting frogged. Bet on the Stallions. You don't take the points.
So I'm going to say my personal betting opinion is I think the Arlington Renegades are going to win. Why? Because the XFL is the more dominant of the leagues. Everyone's so hot on the damn Stallions because they think the USFL just had so much more competition. Well, we're the experts. We watched and we grinded every single one of those games last season. And we know how professional these teams are. Someone might make the same argument for their USFL podcast. But again, XFL, baby. SexFL.
And we are the experts. So I'm taking back my pick. You swayed me. Oh, I'm going Renegades. Still under, though.
So the safe bet I wanted to say, definitely under. I think under is good. If you don't really think the Arlington Renegades are going to win, take the 4 points they're giving to the Arlington Renegades because I think it'll be a close game.
So what
a lot of preseason action.
What app are you on right now?
This is DraftKings. DraftKings Sportsbook for all everybody right out there.
And just letting everybody know, I'm going to make bets of everything I tell you is recommended. So do not think I'm leading you astray.
Oh, I also did last season. I have a betting group on DraftKings. And every time I post, it shares it with the group. So if you wanted to be a part of that, I don't know how we would get you that information. But
oh, yeah. So invite me to that group, Housetown. We'll get in there. We'll try to make this group more public so you guys can see our bets, ride with us, win some money on this XFL, because he's right. We're the experts. They're the experts. Renegades defense was nasty. Luis Perez was slinging that ball on ropes after he left the Vipers. Let's go.
Yeah, I agree. I'm looking at the betting group. I thought it would only show my XFL bets. It shows all my bets. So just in case you guys wanted to know, I got my 3-pick parlay last night right for men's basketball.
Proud of you, Hassel. But let's move on to the next UFL game.
Okay, so UFL. I will get you into the XFL weekly parlay group, though, and change the name. Although I think you should keep it. Anyway, Saturday at 4 o'clock on Fox, as we discussed earlier, we have the St. Louis Battlehawks versus the Michigan Panthers. You want me to take this one?
Yeah, I'm gonna first on the last one.
Oh, okay. You just gave me the little
because we alternate. We alternate who goes first.
Okay, sorry.
This stays in.
Well, we're definitely cutting that. We'll do exactly what we did last podcast. We're definitely cutting that, and then you hear it in the episode. This is my favorite. Anyway, St. Louis Battlehawks, they are giving 7 points to the Michigan Panthers. 7 points. I mean, it's not at St. Louis, so like that's good for the Panthers. They don't have to deal with that humongous home crowd.
Those St. Louis fans are hungry for a football team, and I'm glad they got one. It was one of the
championship, baby.
Dude, they're one of the favorites, at least to win the XFL division. So
it was hard to pick the Defenders over the Battlehawks just because of how awesome their fan base is. And we talked about this last season because we both enjoyed watching them. AJ McCarron, obviously, but the fan base for the Battlehawks is just so, it just makes you want to be a Battlehawks fan.
Yeah, but I think what it boiled down to is we're closer to the Defenders, and
yeah, and we're gonna go
to a game. So yeah, might as well pick that team if you're flirting for a new girlfriend, get one who's close.
So yeah, definitely, I would not take the 41.5 point overage. I mean, maybe St. Louis is gonna put up a lot of points, but I don't think Michigan's gonna be putting up a lot of points. So that's my thoughts. Spaghetti, do you differ?
Kind of a little bit, because if I remember, I definitely think the Battlehawks will win, but I don't know if they'll win by 7, because I remember last year they were winning a lot of games with comebacks, and they were scoring like 2 touchdowns at the end of the game, because McCarron was just turning it in the 2-minute man.
Right, 2 touchdowns, 3-point plays.
Yeah.
Were they the first ones to hit the 3-point play?
I think so.
And then the same week we had another team hit the 3-point play later on.
Did they keep the 1, 2, and 3-point plays for the... I doubt it, because if they're going to keep the kickoff, it seems like a more kick-centric league.
Yeah, you know, that is a good question. Let's look that up in real time. UFL.
We'll check that out. But I like I said, I still think like 41 points is a lot for an over. I don't remember the Battlehawks as being a team that's going to blow people out of the water. So I don't like the line. But I do think I'm pretty confident they'll win.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the Panthers were a weak team.
I think so. I mean, they have to be for the first week they're giving this team 7 points, you know. Yeah, we don't know really. There's no preseason. We don't know how these teams are going to look.
And then I think I saw DraftKings odds. It was them or Memphis had the worst odds. The Brahmas were third worst, and I was very upset about that.
Okay, so to circle back, points after touchdown. 2 yard line, 1 point. 5 yard line, 2 points. 10 yard line, 3 points. And then it says here, kickoffs will look more like the traditional college NFL kickoffs, but will take place from the 20-yard line of a kicking team. A kick out of bounds will give the possession receiving team 30 yards from the spot of the kickoff or at the spot where the ball went out of bounds. The kickoff that is untouched by the receiving team may only be recovered by the kicking team up to 20 yards from the spot of the kick. Interesting.
So if you wanted to onside it, you'd have to yeet it 20 yards.
Teams will be allowed, as they were in both leagues last season, to throw two forward passes on one play. The ball cannot cross the line of scrimmage at any time prior to the second forward pass being thrown. Awesome.
That is awesome. I hope we see one of them. I doubt we will this early, but who knows? People like to pull out the tricks early. But back to the action. I'm saying take the under. Ignore the points. That seems like a lot for a week one. But I still say that the Battle Hawks should win pretty comfortably.
All of the overs are 40 points or more. I just don't see that happening. Did any of these odds makers look at the XFL last season?
I might parlay all unders.
Yeah? That's ballsy. Yeah. I like it, though. All right, next up, DC Defenders at the San Antonio Brahmas. How bad do you think they're going to do your Brahmas?
What do you mean? How bad are they going to look compared to my Brahmas?
No, how bad do you think the points is that they're giving?
Oh, I think it's 8.5.
8.5?
Yeah.
You'd be pleasantly surprised. That's 6.
Oh, 6. Nice.
One less than the Panthers.
I mean, if DraftKings lets me do a custom line, I might do like $2 or $3 on a custom line. Brahmas win by 3. Because the Brahmas are winning this game. People are thinking they're the Brahmas of last year. Their entire offense changed and is revamped. They have new play calling, new head coach, new OC, new number one receiver, new number one tight end, new quarterback. This is a new team. This is a new year. This is a new Brahma. They're winning this game. Easy. So take the over 41. Because that's how many the Brahmas are putting up on your bitch-ass defenders.
So I, for all those reasons that you just said, were why I thought you were going to say they're going to lose this first week, because they're so new and there has been no preseason. So you really threw me for a loop there. Obviously, I'm taking the Defenders. They're mopping the floor with the Brahmas, but I don't think it will be by 43.5 total points.
I do.
Yeah?
The Brahmas are going to put up 35.
If the Brahmas score 7 points, I'll be impressed.
Brahmas are going to score 7 points on the first play.
Let's see how well this works out. All right, last but not least, we got the Showboats and the Houston Roughnecks. Showboats at the Roughnecks. 1 point to the Roughnecks. The Showboats, wow. The Showboats are who we were just making fun of for being the worst team. And they're only giving 1 point to the Roughnecks.
Yeah, so the Panthers have to be the worst team.
I guess so.
And then the Showboats are above them, and I'm guessing the Roughnecks are probably pretty weak. Because I'm thinking the Roughnecks are the Houston Gamblers, but they kept the Roughnecks
clean. Oh, that's right.
That's why they're in the USFL. That's why they're in the USFL division.
Yes.
Which is why I think that the Brahmas were able to get Wade Phillips because he wasn't the head coach.
Yeah, he was like, I ain't going there. I'm an XFL guy, baby.
Well, I don't even know if he had the choice. But we're going to say you did, Wade.
I think so.
I don't really know much about those teams. But weren't the Showboats the ones with Vinny Papale?
Oh, yeah, that's right. So our new favorite team.
Yeah, exactly. So we think
we have no loyalty to the Roughnecks now that they're in the USFL division. So I'm saying Memphis Showboats here, baby. Vinny Papale, 2 touchdowns.
Agreed. Vinny Papale, 2 touchdowns. Player prop. Bet the house on it. Bet your entire house. Sell your children to bet more. Vinny Papale. Are
0 player props available on DraftKings, just so you know.
I assume that.
We have halves. So you get a first half. No second half, just first half. And a futures, who will be the champion? The San Antonio Brahmas are 1,400, and the Panthers are 1,300.
Oh,
Showboats at 8.
Wait, the Brahmas are the worst?
Yeah, Brahmas at 14.
Wow, that's doing my team dirty. Well, that's going to change real fast after they win their first game by 42 points.
You said that you put money on the Brahmas already?
I put $10 on the Brahmas to win the XFL division. So I think that means make it to the finals. Okay, it was on ESPN bet at +1,000. So $10 to $100 if I win.
Oh, okay. Damn.
So let's go Brahmas. I have faith in them. I think it's a smart bet. I think 1,000's ridiculous odds just to take down the doo-doo defenders. The St. Louis Battle Wans.
The Battle Hawks, the Stallions are both 300. DC Defenders are right behind the 380. Then the Renegades at 550, and then the Houston Roughnecks at 650. And then the other ones, obviously, like I mentioned.
So, I mean, if I'm being honest, I think the Stallions might take it down, but I do see the Battlehawks as being a great team. I don't know how the IR works in this league, but if the Battlehawks can get Jakor Pearson back, he was like the most productive receiver in the XFL with AJ McCarron feeding the ball. They still have Hakeem Butler. I think they're unstoppable if he comes back.
I agree. So you're taking the Brahmas, obviously, for the futures. That's for the XFL league. Who do you think is going to win the championship?
That's what I just said. The Battlehawks.
I wasn't sure if that was official.
Okay, so.
Making it a podcast official?
If I'm making it official, the Battlehawks, if Jakor Pearson comes back. If not, I think the Stallions probably pull it out because they have championship pedigree. But if Jakor Pearson comes back, it all changes.
So I'm going to say DC Defenders because I'm biased, obviously. Yeah, they're so close to the other two teams that are listed at number one. Hopefully after week one, I'm not seriously regretting this. But our team is not more or less the same because we lost a lot of people. But we got our quarterback, and that's all that matters. And I believe in the Beer State.
Believe and succeed.
So that's all the games, and that's all the futures. So really, we're just excited. We're super excited to watch the UFL this season. I don't know. I don't think I'm as hype as I was last season with the XFL.
I think I'm more hype because I've missed spring football. I've missed the podcast. I've missed you guys.
Oh.
And it couldn't have come at a better time because tomorrow is actually my birthday. So thank you, Daddy Dwayne Johnson, for the birthday present of kicking off the spring season 2024. Let's go UFL. Let's go any XFL team to win. Fuck the USFL.
And the Roughnecks, because they're dead to us now.
Yeah, Roughnecks, you're traitors and we hate you.
Even though it probably wasn't their fault. But still, USFL losers.
Yeah.
If you're a USFL fan watching this podcast, we really hope that you root for the XFL teams by the end of the season.
We hope we can sway you into the greatness that is the XFL.
Sexfl.
Sex sells, baby. But until next time.
Peace. We'll be right back.